may be seated. You know, as I was thinking about today, new year, not just as, okay, what are we going to preach, but Lord, what are you saying? And on a personal level, what is it that I want? What is it that I would expect? I mean, I'm sure that I've asked myself the same questions that you're asking yourselves. Lord, what is it that you want to do? How do you want to reveal yourself to me? How can I be more like you? What are the goals, the ambitions, the dreams? What are some of the things that maybe I had dreams about last year and they didn't fully come to pass? That this may be the year that it's going to happen. What are the lessons that I learned so that I won't repeat some of the mistakes that I may have made last year? What are some of the good things that happened that I can continue to see those things continue to happen in our life, in our church, in our ministry? But, you know, the bottom line, the most important question is, Lord, where am I going to go in my personal relationship with you? Because, see, all of those other things will fall into line if we get that question right. If we get to that place in our personal, and I'm speaking to people here today, most of you, if not everyone in the room, most of you, you have a relationship with the Lord. You love Jesus. You've been serving God, some of you for years, some of you for decades, been serving the Lord, walking with God. You've been into some high places in the Lord. You've been in some deep places in your relationship with the Lord. But if we'd be honest, you know, we all have some of those fluctuations, don't we? We all kind of go through some of the ups and downs, the highs and the lows, the mountains and the valleys. There are times where we feel so close to God, it's like I can feel his breath. And then there are times where it's kind of like, God, where are you? You know, I don't feel that close. But here's what I know and what I believe, that in all the busyness of life and all of the goals and all the goal setting that we might want to have, and maybe you're kind of thinking along those terms, As we're in this new year, what are my goals for this year? What I want to see accomplished? What? And there's nothing wrong with that. But here's goal number one. The number one priority is, God, I want to go deeper in my relationship with you this year than I've ever been before. And I promise you that if you'll set that goal and then you will strive to reach that goal. Because how many of you know that when you set goals, they don't just automatically happen, right? Anybody ever set a goal that I'm going to lose 50 pounds and you gained 5? Because you didn't do what it was going to take to reach that goal. Sometimes we set, there's nothing wrong with setting goals, but then there's that thing that we have to do. And as we say, Lord, you are calling me, you want me to walk in a deeper place with you, in a more intimate relationship with you than I've ever had before, then we have to recognize that along with that comes our responsibility, that there's an our part. How many of you know that there's a God part and an our part? You know, so many times we just want it to be the God part. God, you show up and you do 100% of everything that has to happen, and I'm just going to sit here and just reap the benefits. I'm not going to make any changes, and I'm not going to do anything differently. I just want you, God, to just show up and just do it all. No, it doesn't work that way. There's our part as well as God's part. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3. As he was coming near the end of his life, but he wasn't finished yet. And he says, I got some stuff that's yet to be done. And this is the way that, here's the Apostle Paul talking. Now, you got to get this. This is Paul, man of God, right? I mean, like, man of God among men of God, right? Top echelon, walking in a relationship with the Lord, experiencing things with God that none of us will ever know on this side of heaven. And yet, here's what the Apostle Paul says about all of that in his life. He says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, as much as I have done, I've not yet grabbed the full prize. I haven't really got a hold of everything that God has for me. I have not yet apprehended. I don't own it all. I don't have it all. I hadn't gotten there yet. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. Somebody say that with me. I press toward the goal For the prize is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Madeline was up here a while ago, and those of you who know Madeline, a two-time Olympian, gold medalist, silver medalist. I got that right? Three-time Olympian, four-time Olympian. I'm sorry, I got it all. Four-time Olympian, but a gold and a silver medalist. And Madeline, you got there by just kind of just sitting there waiting for the Olympic Committee to call you up and, you know, and maybe, you know, they just kind of give you a head start in front of everybody else so that you just take one step and boom, got gold medal, right? It doesn't happen that way. That's a lot of work. There's a lot of effort. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of preparation that has to go into being in that place where you got a chance to win. You had to position yourself to win. I want to talk about that this morning. Positioning ourselves to experience what God wants to do in our life in this coming year. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not leaving it on God's part to do it all. I am pressing toward a mark for a prize. And the word pressing that he uses there is actually a picture word. And it goes kind of back to that whole Olympic thing, that running thing. It's this press is, we've all seen it, when the runner is coming down to the finish line, and there's that tape that they've got to cross, and it's the first person that touches, and you'll see that Olympic runner there, they're leaning into the tape. They're pressing in. They're already going at full speed. They're already giving it everything that they've got, but in that last lunge, it's like, even more, everything that I've got that I can throw into this because I want to win. It's positioning yourself to receive what God wants to do in our lives. And I believe that God wants us to do that. I believe that God wants us to press in, to lean in, to expect him to do some awesome things this coming year. I think that to believe that I'm going to grow in my personal walk with the Lord and I'm going to get into that place where God can just pour out his blessings on us individually, on us as a family, on our church. When I think about that, I think of this old term that I heard a preacher use a long time ago. He said, we need to get to the place, I want to get under the spout where the glory comes out. You ever heard of that phrase? I want to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Now, I don't know, Greg, that I can give you any biblical, you know, where that's biblical. I don't know that there's some place that you can go to and that's where the glory. But I know that there are places where God's just pouring out his spirit and his glory and his blessings. And, you know, and a lot of times we'll see God moving over there and we go, well, I'm just going to sit here and wait and see if God will come over here and pour his blessings out on me. He's blessed so-and-so over there. Well, that's wonderful. That's nice. But let's see if God comes over here and blesses me. Forget that. You need to get over there where the blessings are. You need to move into that place. You need to, and when I say move, I'm not talking about moving physically like I'm moving back and forth across the stage. It's me moving back and forth across the stage. It's a picture of us spiritually moving to a place where we're getting to where God wants us to be so that God can do what it is that he wants to do in our lives. That we position ourselves for a miracle. To position ourselves for the blessings of God, to get into that place where we're right where God wants us to be so that he can do for us what he's already predetermined that he wants to do. But I think sometimes God is waiting to see, do we want it? Do we want it? How badly do we want it? Well, I guess, Lord, if you'll bless me, I'll take it. No, I want it. I want it. I want the blessing. I want to get to that place. Well, you're going to have to put some effort into it. If you're going to win this race, you're going to have to press toward a mark. There's going to have to be some leaning. There's going to have to be some striving. There's going to have to be some discipline. There's going to have to be some effort. There's going to have to be your part so that God can then do his part. And I want to talk with you just for a few minutes about what it might look like if you are to position yourself for blessing. If you want to get to the place where you can receive the miracles that God wants, how many of you could use some miracles in your life? You know, Maybe there's some financial things that you need. Maybe there's some healing that you need in your body. Maybe there's some loved ones that you've been praying for that you want to see saved. You want to see some miracles happen in your life. Is it okay for us to pray God move in signs and wonders and miracles? You know, I can't prove the glory spout. You know, I can't prove that in the Bible. But I can show you in the Bible where they did pray for the signs and the wonders and the miracles. It's in the book of Acts chapter 4. Where they have been persecuted as the early church. They're out there doing what God wants them to do. And how many of you know just because you're doing what God wants you to do doesn't mean that it's all going to be peaches and cream. It's not going to all be, you know, rainbows and Skittles and all that good stuff just because you're doing what God wants you to do. In fact, sometimes when you're doing what God wants you to do, it really rises up the enemy's hackles against you and he comes at you. And so the early church, they're experiencing some level of persecution and they kind of withdraw back together and regroup and they're like, what are we going to do about this? And they begin to pray. And I want you to hear how they prayed. I got to go back here. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, it says, now, this is how they pray. Now, Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They're not backing up. They're moving forward. Lord, even more. And this is what they say. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. I mean, they're praying for it. They are saying, God, we want to see the miraculous. Stretch out your hand. Do signs. Do wonders. Do miracles. And they thought it was a pretty good prayer. God must have thought it was a pretty good prayer too, because the next verse says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God's like, I like that prayer. So let's just make this a place where the glory comes out right here. We'll just open up a little spout right here and Holy Spirit just floods the room and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. I mean, It's the day of Pentecost all over again for them. You know, it's a powerful move of God, a refreshing that they needed, an empowering that they needed. And then we begin to see God answer that prayer about signs and wonders and miracles through the rest of the book of Acts. I mean, it's happening. It's going on. So I know that it's in God's will. He wants to do it, but he's looking for people that he can work through. And sometimes he's waiting on us to make a move. He's waiting on us to position ourselves to get into that place where he can do what he wants to do in our lives. Let me just share with you a couple of things that you might have to do to position yourself for this miracle. One is you need to make a move for a miracle. Make a move for a miracle. Some of us, we've just kind of been sitting where we've been sitting for long enough. It's time to get up and make a move. Maybe this is the year where you just need to make a move. You just need to get up and begin to do something that you haven't done before. Let me share with you this story that's found in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 7. The city of Jerusalem has been besieged by the enemy's armies, and they've cut off all the supplies coming into the city to where there's no more food left inside the city. People are starving to death inside of the city. I mean, this is the way in the Old Testament days when you had these big walled cities and you couldn't get over the wall. Well, you just cut off the supply lines and you say, basically, we're going to choke them to death. We're going to starve them to death. They'll finally surrender when either they're going to die inside or they're going to give up and say, hey, we want some food. Sometimes it took months, sometimes it took a couple of years, and they were patient, they were willing to do that. And so this is what's going on against God's people. And it's right at that point. I mean, people are already starving to death. They are this close. I mean, this close to defeating God's people. And the story starts in verse 3. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we'll die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. You know, it doesn't look like they had a whole lot of choices, right? If we stay where we are, we're going to die. If we go hang out with the people that are dying, we're going to die. But if we'll take a risk, if we'll make a move, if we'll go over there where the enemy is and ask for some mercy, maybe, just maybe, they'll have mercy on us and they'll spare us and they'll give us some food and we'll live. So at dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. The enemy's abandoned camp. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. They were hearing things. They didn't see anything, but they heard the sound. And it said, man, that sounds like armies coming after us. And so they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their donkeys and horses. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. Right on the verge. And they take off running because God shows up. And the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp. The ones that said, let's make a move. We need to take a chance. We need to make a move. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. Nobody's around. So they ate, drank, carried away silver, gold, clothes, went off and hid them, returned and entered into another tent, took some things from it, hid that also. I mean, they're like, whoo, it's Christmas. Then they said to each other, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. Here's what I want you to see. They had to make a move. If we sit here, we'll die. But if we'll make a move, if we'll do something different, if we'll do something we haven't done, if we'll step out by faith, then there's just a chance that maybe we can get to that place where we'll be fed. Maybe we'll get to that place where we'll be nourished. It's this picture of the blessings of the Lord coming into their lives. Listen, some of you have been sitting in the same place for so long. And the Lord's saying, it's time to make a move. It's time to get up. If you stay where you are, you know the old thing about, you know, if you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got, right? It's time to make a move. It's time to make a change. It's time to do something different. And I'm asking you to think about that in terms of your relationship with the Lord. What do you need to change? What kind of move do you need to make in your life to position yourself to a place where God can begin to pour into you and begin to speak into you and begin to minister into you and to begin to work in your life like you've never had before? What do you need to do? If you need to make a move, brother, you need to make a move. Why sit you here any longer? It's time to get up and make a move. Then I think of the story of David, who had to obey in order to get his miracle. It was obedience that positioned him for a miracle. And the story that I'm thinking of is after he's been anointed to be the king of Israel, but he goes back to being the shepherd boy because it's really not his time to step to the throne yet. And then there's this battle between the Philistines and the Israelites, and all of his older brothers are off in the battle, and he's still taking care of the sheep. And his dad calls him and says, I want you to go take lunch to your brothers. Now, his brothers didn't even like David. I mean, honestly, they just thought he was this brat of a kid. Remember, he wasn't even invited to the party when he was going to be anointed to be the king. I mean, they really didn't think a whole lot of him at all. And it would have been really easy for David to say, yeah, I don't feel like it. I really don't want to. They don't treat me right. I'm not gonna go take them lunch. Let them get their own lunch. He could have said, yeah, I just go bury it in a cave somewhere. And when Daddy asked me, did I do it? I'll say, oh yeah, I took it. The guys are doing great. But that's not what he did. He obeyed his father. And he shows up at the battlefield just at the time that Goliath is out ranting and raving and give me a man to fight against me. And David can't believe what he's seeing. And something rises up inside of him, the anointing of God that rises up inside of him. And he's like, give me a chance. I'll take this Goliath out. You just give me a shot at it. I want you to understand that was a pivotal moment in David's life, and it was from that point that he began to move into the calling. He began to move into the anointing. It wouldn't be long before, I mean, they're singing songs about him. He's wiping out the enemy. He's you know, ultimately he's going to become the king. But it's all because he positioned himself. Had he not gone where God said, where his father said to go, if he hadn't done what his father was telling him to do, he would have never had that opportunity. He would have missed out on what God's plan for his life was. You see, you're being a little overdramatic, Pastor Tommy. Surely God would have given him a second chance somewhere along the way. Well, I'm not going to say that God wouldn't have given him a second chance, but I'm saying that was the opportunity that God had set up for him. And because he obeyed, he positioned himself for his miracle, for his blessing, for what God wanted to do in his life. Listen, some of you, there may be some things that the Father's been asking you to do, and you've been going, I don't want to take lunch to my brother. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like it. And God's saying, if you're going to get to the place where I can pour out my blessing on you, to do the things in your life that you really want done, start obeying me. Start doing what I'm asking you to do. Then there's the story of a Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to read her story, and here is the truth that we learn from her, is that you need to make room for a miracle. You need to make room for a miracle. You need to carve out the space and say, okay, God, here's a place for you to do your work. Lord, I'm giving you this space to work in my life. Let's read the story, and then I want to really kind of tag on a little bit. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. I want you to see, she is literally making a room for the man of God, who represents the power of God and the presence of God, and he's a prophet, so he represents the voice of God and the will of God. She's literally making a room for that to happen in her life. So then this guy's gonna show up, keep coming to my house. One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her, you've gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? You've made room for us. What can we do for you? How can we repay you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? And she replied, I have a home among my own people. Well, what can be done for her? Elisha asked. And Gehazi said, well, she has no son, and her husband is old. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Don't mislead your servant. In other words, don't play with me. That's what she said. Don't you play with me. This is serious stuff. Don't you joke with me. Don't you be funning with me. Don't mislead your servant, O man of God. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elijah had told her. She became pregnant and gave birth to the promise of God because she made room for God. Whew. Come on, somebody, grab a hold of that. The Lord wants to bring something to birth in you and through you. There's a promise that maybe there's some delays or some things that hasn't happened yet, and you've been waiting on it, and the Lord's saying, I want to do that. But here's what you got to have to do first. You're going to have to make room, make a place, make a space for God to work in your life, to welcome the voice of God, the presence of God, the man of God, as it were, into your life. And here's how that practically works in my life. When I start thinking about making room for God, it's making time for God. Making time for God. Oh, isn't it so easy? With all the things pulling at us, all of the things that seem important, to get sidetracked and distracted and not make room for God. And then you wonder, God, why didn't you show up? And he's like, I had to come, but you didn't have time for me. You didn't have a place for me. You weren't really ready for me. You weren't really expecting me. You weren't really wanting me. You didn't really desire it. Why should I have showed up? You didn't make room for me. Then I see that sometimes to get our miracle, you need to serve for a miracle. You need to serve for a miracle. I'm running out of time, so let me just summarize the story. we find Peter. He's fished all night. He's caught nothing. He's on the shore. He's washing his net. Jesus comes along. He's teaching the people. And there's such a crowd that they can't hear very well. And Jesus sees these two empty boats sitting at the edge of the bank. And he says, hey, fellas, do you mind? Would you let me borrow your boat and just take me out just a little ways? There's something about the natural acoustics of the water that was going to help him to speak, and the people were going to be able to hear him better. Now, Simon Peter's like, man, I am tired. I've been working all night. I don't want to do anything else except finish cleaning these nets and go home and get some rest because I got to fish again tonight. That's all he's wanting. I just want to finish. I just want to get out of here. I don't want to do anything else. But something inside of him said yes to Jesus. And he pushes his boat out, and Jesus finishes his sermon. And then Jesus turns to Peter and says, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out just a little bit further and set out your nets. And he's like, Jesus, come on, dude. I'm tired. Been fishing all night. Caught nothing. Don't even want to be here right now, but hey, I've done this much. Okay, because you said so. He drops the net, and he catches so many fish that the net begin to break. It's a miracle. What happened? He served. Now, some would suggest that Peter was the first sound man in the church. Because, I mean, he was, you know, working his boat to get the acoustics right so that everybody could hear Jesus. And so he's serving as a sound man in the church, and all of a sudden, God just fills his bank account. Just blesses him. Why? Because he's serving. He's doing something. So some of you need to start serving, because that's where the door of opportunity is going to open for you to receive the miracle that you need to receive in your life. You've been sitting back going, well, I'm waiting for somebody to serve me. I'm waiting for somebody to serve me. I'm waiting for somebody to serve me. And God said, I'm waiting for you to serve me. And when you begin to serve, when you begin to do, when you begin to operate in the gifts that I have given to you, and be a blessing to others, you just watch. It's going to open up the door of opportunities and blessings in your life. Let me close with one last, and that is out of the story of Zacchaeus, we learned that we can't let people get in the way of our miracle. Can't let people get in the way. Zacchaeus, we remember the little song we sung when we were little kids. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. So he climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. He wouldn't let the crowds keep him from having an audience with Jesus. I'm reminded of the woman with the issue of blood who believed that if I just touch the hem of Jesus' garments, I'll be made whole. But there's a mass of people around him, and it says that she had to press her way through the crowd. But she was willing to do it. She wasn't going to let people get in the way of her miracle. I'm reminded of blind Bartimaeus who sits at the road. He hears that Jesus is coming, and he begins to cry out and say, Son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody said, shh, this isn't a Pentecostal town. You're being too loud. Tone it down. You remember what the scripture said about it? It said that he cried all the louder. He's like, you think this is Pentecostal? You ain't seen Pentecostal yet. You think this is loud? You ain't seen loud yet. You think that's determination? You haven't seen determination yet. And he got his miracle. I don't know. Are there some people in your lives that stand in between you and the blessings that God has for you? You've let them stand in the way. You've let them be an interference in your relationship with the Lord. Don't let people cheat you out of what God has for you. Here we are in a brand new year, first day of the new year, and the challenge that the Lord has given to me and the challenge that I believe that he gives to you is that we determine that this year we're going to grow in our relationship with God like we've never grown before. And that means we're going to have to position ourselves. We're going to have to put ourselves into those places. We're going to have to make the moves. We're going to have to make the space. We're going to have to walk in obedience. We're going to have to do the work and serve the Lord and don't let anything get in our way. But if we'll do that, if we'll position ourselves, we can look back in 365 days and say, I could have never dreamed what God was going to do this year, but look at what God has done. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to live this year in light of eternity. Lord, that you would help us, Father, to focus on you this year, to focus on our relationship with you this year. Of all the other goals that we might want to set, I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to make more money. I want to get more physically fit. I want to whatever it is. Lord, that we would say, but the number one goal of my life is I want to position myself. I want to get in that place, Lord, that you've called me to, that place. That spout where the glory comes out. I want to live there. I want to get there. I want to walk in that place. I want to experience, Lord, all that you have for me this coming year. I wonder, with every head bowed and eyes closed, if there's anybody in this place that would say, you know, Pastor, that all sounds wonderful and well, and it is. The reality is, I'm not even in a relationship with God. How can I? Well, you can start today. You can begin your relationship with Jesus today. You can start this Jesus journey today. You can make your move today. Those lepers were sitting there going, if we stay where we are, we're going to die. Listen, I want to tell you, if you're lost and without Jesus, if you sit where you are, you will die. But if you'll come to God, if you'll turn your life over to Him, then He will give you life and life more abundantly. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask this simple question, because I'd like to pray for you if you're here and you want to make that decision. If you want to be saved today, today would be your day of salvation. Maybe, and let me just broaden that a little bit. Maybe you would say, Pastor, there was a time in my life where I was walking with the Lord. I knew Him, but I've strayed so far away that, to be honest with you, if I had to say, do I know for certain that I'd go to heaven if I died, I really don't know that for a certainty. And I'd like to get back to that place where I know that for a certainty. So if this is a time that you need to recommit your life to the Lord, or for the very first time, make a decision to follow Jesus, would you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you. Anybody in this place today? Anybody? I don't see any hands lifted. I hope that what that means is everybody here is a born-again child of God. Maybe you're watching online and this is for you. Right now, this can be your time to just humbly pray, Jesus, come into my life. Wash me and cleanse me. Forgive me of all my sins. I repent. I turn away from all of my sin, and I turn to you, and I ask you to come into my heart. I trust you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many would say today, Pastor Tommy, yeah, I want to accept the challenge to position myself this year, to take the steps that I need to take, to make the moves that I need to make, to walk in the obedience that I need to walk in, to serve in the way that I need to serve, to position myself for that deeper walk, that deeper relationship, and the blessings that God wants to bring into my life. Would you just raise your hand? Yeah, because I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. Come on, I want to pray for us. We're going to pray for one another. If that's your prayer, just raise your hand. Just hold it up. I think that's most of the people in this room today. So, Lord, as we lift our hands to you, we just say, Lord, help us to do our part. We know you're going to do yours. Help us to do our part. Help us not to just be moved today. Let this not just be lip service today, but, Lord, let our lives begin to take a different trajectory. Let us begin to do some things on a daily basis, God, that's literally making room for your presence in our lives, for your power in our lives, for your miraculous to operate in our lives. God, we make this commitment before one another and before you today, and we ask you, God, help us to walk it out. Lord, I'm asking that this church is going to experience an explosion this year of the good things that you want, Lord, that this will be a spout where the glory comes out place. God, where people will come and there'll be signs and wonders and miracles and people be healed and delivered and saved and set free. God, Lord, we're asking you to do all of those things. And Lord, work in our lives individually as well. And Father, for doing it, we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. I want to ask the prayer team if you'll come and join me. We're going to close this service this morning. Listen, if you want to spend some time here at the altar on this first day of the year, you just want to just come and kneel and just pray by yourself and just talk to the Lord alone. There's nothing wrong with doing that. That's what this time is for. If you want someone to pray with you about something, our prayer team is here and we're ready to pray with you. My prayer is that whatever your decision to come here or to go out to do what you need to do today, that you walk out this new year positioning yourself for a miracle. God bless you, Spirit Life Church. We'll see you next week. You got something? Amen. All right, there you go. Did you hear that? Where Jesus says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. He said, you got to pour it out. There's got to be a spout somewhere to pour it out with, right? Amen. God bless you.